Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show. My name is Beverly D, and we have Sister Seta Aset, and she's an author of The Chemistry File, and she is reading from her book, War. And so let's see, Sister Seta Aset, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Sister Beverly. How are you today?
Great, great, great. And so tell the listeners how many books you have and what's going on with the books and how they can get in touch with you. And if they want to purchase a book, how can they do that?
Well, the Chemistry File started a trilogy and it became six books now. The first being Wi-Fi, Gathering of the Third Breaking War,
up.
Just the one.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Hello. You're also breaking up when we first came on the air.
You're breaking up.
Unfortunately, you're breaking up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me.
Yes, slightly.
Okay, go ahead. Continue talking. Maybe I'll see if you get clear. Go ahead.
Okay. The third book being The War, which is the one we're on now, the fourth book being 9X, and the fifth book being In the Realm of the Gods. I'm working on another one right now called Chemistry Area 51. That is the six books, and I'm the sixth book, and I've also have a seventh, which is called Chemistry Cosmic Legacy. And my website is chemistryfiles.com. That's K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y files.com. My email, Addie, is chemistryfiles@gmail.com, chemistryfiles@gmail.com. They can go to the website, and there are several ways that you can get the novel, and you can also contact me through my website if you want one that is autographed and signed, and I can send that back to you as well. There's one more site called Gumroad, GUMROAD.com, and there you can stream Bright Light. I'm seeing how that one does, seeing this is going to take off. And I also have the other ones also that is streaming, that you can stream and listen to them. They're going to be on there shortly. So you can go there and do that. And one more thing, I have a script coming out, Bright Light. It's like a director's and producer's copy. I'm only going to make five of those. So if you're one of the lucky people that orders one of those, hey, you'll have an heirloom, I would say. So mm-hmm. That's all this what's going on with the chemistry.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. And where did we leave off? Kind of give us an update on where we left off at.
Well, we left off with the fight with Zuri and Femi defeating the evils of the Crown Cross, who is, we know, it looks like they're getting a shellacking over there in Italy right now with this virus. So, you know, what you put out, will come back on you. So, you know, never do something that will come back with you in return. That's one thing mm-hmm. my mother always told me, said if you do anything wrong to somebody and, deliberately or whatever, expect for it to come back to you because you had no business doing it in the first place. So a lot of these people they're getting what they dished out, and it's coming right back at them. So, we were just wrapping up some of the help that they received from the Sumerian gods and the Olmecian gods on this war that they created against the people, which is what they're doing now. And I want everybody to know that this is not real, okay? To some of you, quote unquote, get it, then it may be real to you. But I didn't write these like in a real-time agenda. This is fiction, nonfiction, okay? Some of the things that is happening in these novels, like I said, for those of you that may get it, may be happening for you right now. I did mention in Bright Light, the first novel, about a virus that they won't be able to control. I did write about that, and that was that first book that we read. And some of that is happening now. And there are a couple of other authors that did the same thing that have, predicted such a mm-hmm. thing that would happen. And, of course, it's not far-fetched. You know, if you look back on the Matrix, the Matrix is not far-fetched either.
No.
So you have to, keep those things in mind as well. But we were ending up with the fight. It was wrapping up, and things were about to go back to normal. Now, this is ground war on Earth that we're talking about in the first three novels. Bright Light, Gathering of the Vanguard, and The War. Now, the next two novels, 9X and In the Realm of the Gods, it kind of takes you to a war that is happening up in space right now.
Wow.
So,
I bet you it's going to be, when you get to those novels, that we have a space force now, and I bet you something's going to be going on in space when you read your novel.
9X, that is the one that we're about to get on once we leave the war. Okay. And more than likely, I will probably read a couple of chapters of 9X before we go off the air tonight, if it's okay with you.
Yes.
Now, right now, I am on the last chapter, The War. And so whenever you're ready, Sister Bev, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, last chapter, part 51, Gateway to the Great Emissary. It's Gateway to the Great Emissary. The Eye Watchers continued to fight as if they were just beginning the war that started so many months ago. The colors of the skies were of a smoky black and a red overglazed inferno after all the battles had ceased. In the Saurian eyes of the Talisman, the war for them was not over until they killed everything in their power for the Crown Cross, who had abandoned them a very long time ago, only to save themselves from certain death from the Vanguard. They were cowards in every sense of the word. The aim in the many years they had of their meager, petty existence on planet Earth was to rob, steal, and kill the people. The more the monsters fought, the more Femi and Zuri stormed them with their weapons set on kill. Her armor was covered in the blood of the Jawawks as she beat down her enemy. Racing towards Zuri to kill him was a mistake each Dracon made, for each one who pursued him was met by his sword, cutting into the green scales and rotting flesh of the hissing reptiles. The final count of the human beings that lost their lives to the Draconian Empire, which was overseen by the Crown Cross of Romanilia and the GBC, was over 6 billion. It was a war of all wars. It was the war they always wanted to win. They did not attain the victory. The last of the enemy was driven back to the Mason-Dixon line. Once they were, the Sumerian and the Atlantean crafts ignited a gigantic bonfire that plumed like that of an atomic explosion, burning them all in a huge pyre that flamed for days. The call went out to the Atlanteans, the Sumerians, and the Olmecs all across the globe, instructing them to repeat the process until there was none to be reckoned with. The world the enemy made throughout his 6,000 miserable years, history fell in the hands of a god and a goddess who was sent as the great emissaries in a matter of years. With the help of the Vanguard, Femi was able to take out all those who played God for some reason or another and reminded them that there is no room for betraying the mother. With her scepter, she recalled her army of Eye Watchers forward. She gave them instruction to give to them. She gave instruction to them to give those who survived the battles help and understanding of what happened to their physical make-believe world, and that world would be no more. The time was up, and she wanted to express that each one should make the best of what little time was left upon Earth. The thing was, the souls that were left were not surprised at all. These few, all across the globe, were given a chance to correctly know who they were, but instead they elected to remain on the planet and hopefully start over again. Your fate is in your own hands. After the instruction and plans for survival was made, the Atlantean warrior stepped down from his ship and greeted Femi and Zuri. Anitu Aina Itsu Atlantis, I am Mishkagel from the city below the green waters. We were sent with the Olmecs to chase away and clear planet Gaia from the destruction of the reptiles that invaded and raped her long ago. These were the parasites that fought against us and cause great damage to our world. We knew you were coming again to face the one who betrayed us with the reptiles. The creators called you and the king back to finish what you started in Atlantis after leaving Nibiru so many thousands of years ago. Before you could stop him, the buttons were pushed and all was lost. Now he's gone back with the Dracons, but Earth will not see them again for a while. I give thanks that peace resumes. Now comes the decisions the creators will give. I knew there was a greater purpose for being here. Knowing this, there was one thing I didn't know, and that was saving the innocent of the world. It was good seeing you and the Atlantean army, my friend. Now Zuri and I must go back to the mountain and gather the people. Until then, may your wish for Atlantis be attainable once again to exist in harmony and peace, she said. Zuri and Femi bid farewell to what was left to the care of the Olmecs while the Atlanteans settled back down to their ocean cities. Many of the Sumerians stayed behind to help the Olmecs put things back in order for a more organized and harmonious civilization, communicating to Aratalugal that those who stayed behind would join the exodus back to Nibiru with the vanguard. The Eye Watchers continued on to the Mountains of the Moons. The people were waiting there for their champions, but they only saw the crafts from the Sumars and the Eye Watchers. They no longer needed to uphold the barrier of protection. Meanwhile, Femi and Zuri took a trip to the Ionosphere to speak to the three suns. They said to them they no longer needed to shine so bright. So the two babies dimmed their light like their sister Luna and orbited around her. As they took their places at her side, the expanse around the planet began to clear and wash away all the poison, the impurities, and clear, clean air began to take over. Double helium and oxygen was the air the new population took into their lungs. Clean, clear blue waters flowed effervescently in the lakes and rivers that revived itself and teeming with life. When they returned to the camp, Leo Ayera with Zuri's mother were ecstatic to see them once again. They celebrated victories after the sacred battle that rid the planet of its infection. After the celebration, Femi and Zuri swam in the warm waters of the Nile. After their swim, they lay quietly in their shell together. Holding her in his incredibly muscular arms, he kissed her mouth tenderly, lovingly, and willfully. Okay, so a lot of this is they're together, and I'll just put it like that. Okay, and I'll start here. They both had to let go and release the love flow that was shared between the two of them. After they lay quietly, still in a lover's embrace, beside the peaceful waters, relaxing in their spirits, the sex force was an action they overstood very well. They knew when and how to engage in it. Very early in the new day, Femi was awakened by the creators. You've done well, Femi. Now it's time for you and your people to go. Gaia has cleansed herself upon the surface, but her insides need to extract itself of the mucus that remains within. Some of the Atlanteans have retreated back to the planet of Aquata. The Olmecs will be joining you, for the Olmecs are the Sumerians of long, long ago. The Sumerians are three-quarter Anunnaki. You are all one people, except you, Femi, for you are half god, goddess, and half creation. You are the only one who can speak to us verbally. Board your ships with peace, love, and joy. Go forward and don't look back, for we will give Gaia a cleansing. She will always be here until we replant it again with new fertile soil once more. Call on us, for we will always be with you. Hence, a quadruple went by. Femi called for the triangle, the hexagon, and the pentagon ships to return so that they may leave planet Earth until next time. The people, men, women, and children, entered the ships, and when they did, they all became beacons of light, shining, bright, etheric, glowing. After rising ever so high in the heavenly universe, they were catapulted through a portal that opened, and a brightly lit solar system beamed with a light so bright it could be seen across many universes. After the light, darkness. We are not the chosen people of God. We are the chosen people of the Creator because we are gods. Okay, Sister Bev, that's the end of the war. Any questions you
okay.
have?
Okay. No, so where are they getting ready to go now?
They've gone back to their home, to their etheric home. Mm-hmm. And what the last part, the part that I was reading, you know, you can get the book and you can read what I didn't read. But anyway, Femi and Zuri, even though they were a couple and they were married, they were together, they never engaged in any type of physical activity with each other until after this war was over. And so that's when they engaged with each other.
I don't remember them being physical before. I thought maybe I had missed it or something.
No, they took care of business. How so many of us sometimes, we don't do it right the way we should do it, taking care of our business, do what we got to do, before we get with each other. Well, this is what they did. They, before they got with each other, they was married all that time, but they never, never engaged with each other until at the very end.
So that was the war. Now you're going to, what's the name of the next one?
The next book is called Chemistry 9X. So... This is one that I felt was, like I said, evil has a backstory too, and we got to talk about them too.
Okay.
So this is where we at in this one. If I can get it to pull up here, it's taking its ever-loving time. I just wanted everyone to know about, I want to talk about this little coronavirus thing going around.
Yes.
I have some thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. And day before yesterday, I just got over the flu, okay? And, I had chills and some body aches, and I had a slight fever.
Okay.
But what I did was I told myself, you are not ill. You are not sick. You don't have anything that you wouldn't have had normally. And so I just took care of, I'm a swimmer. I kept swimming. I kept taking my vitamins and my vitamin C and my tea, and I just relaxed and I got over it. It would have been a point where if I was really panicking about it, I would really had been afraid and scared or whatever, but I wasn't. So I just want everybody to know that, don't let it scare you. Don't let it frighten you to a point to where, you just, lose your mind about it or so. Just don't let it get you down. Just don't let it get you down. I just want to say that.
Yeah, because, you can make yourself sick, too. So if you start worrying and panicking, your body is feeling all of that. And see, you turned it around. You went positive. So you was able to get rid of it. And your body listened to what you say.
Exactly. And I think, I just want all our people to get, you know, to get that. I mean, go past, you know, what you think is on the surface. You got to go down deep within and pull all that out. And you'll realize just how powerful you can be.
Yeah.
You know, you can get over this. You really can, because if you start telling yourself, oh, I'm sick, whatever, whatever, you're going to be sick.
Yeah, that's right. And your body can heal itself.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's just what my body did. So I just want the family to know, you know, don't let it get you down. Mm-hmm. Think positive. Think, you know, we got to think outside, inside, and under the box, you know. Don't let this get you down. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Because they want everybody in a panic. Go ahead, Smith.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Did you see that movie, Get Out, when the woman was hypnotizing the guy? And that's what it feels like to me. It feels like that they putting us under a hypnotic spell of fear. And you see how the guy was able to get out. He resisted. And that's how he was able to not get hypnotized. He, you know, that's how he saved his life, by resisting the hypnosis. And that's what's going on here.
And Sister Bev, you know, I think that I don't know how far into this coronavirus COVID-19 thing, it's, I don't even know the words of it, is being, because, I think that they're putting layers on top of it. You know, of course, last night we heard that the president said, you know, he's going to restrict travel from overseas or whatever. He restricted travel from Europe, but he didn't restrict travel from the UK. And so in the UK and Europe, so you can go to Heathrow Airport. You can go to Heathrow Airport from anywhere over there in Europe and then fly here. If there is no restriction on the Heathrow Airport and they can fly from there to here, what's to stop people from going there to fly here, even if they're in Italy or wherever else they would be over there? It don't make sense
now,
to me.
Is Italy shut down? Did they shut down all their air flights and travel? As I know, China, they can't leave out the house.
Yes, they did shut down all of Italy. Now, I don't know if they said they can't leave the house or not, but as far as them flying, you know, yeah, they probably shut that down, but did they shut down you driving your car and going from, you know, say driving from here to there? Did they do that? That's a question. And also, I read today that the president is thinking about restricting travel from state to state now.
Yeah.
Right here
in
this country.
Yeah. So they're going to.
And I knew that
country
was coming.
Yeah, we talked about that too. So they're going to put the whole world or the whole country on lockdown, huh?
Just about. He's thinking about it. He hasn't said anything, but he's thinking about it. And I just feel like, I don't know, it could be just me, but I think it's fear-mongering on top of fear-mongering. If the virus, if no one is really serious about this coronavirus, well, let's throw some more layers on it to really make the people scared. That's what I'm feeling. I could be
and
wrong,
you're not
but that's
the
what
only
I'm
one.
Feeling.
No, it's quite a few people feeling that way, you know. So I just feel like that we are, this is some kind of warfare that's going on. You know, they're not using guns and bullets. They're using chemical. They're using mental, you know, so. And we're in the middle of it. But I don't feel, and just like they said, thousands of people last year died from just a regular flu. And we don't have nearly the cases of people dying from this coronavirus as the people dying from the flu.
Exactly. So, you know, that's kind of, to me, that's like, I mean, okay, so if this many people die just plain old regular flu, what are you all trying to say here? It's something else. It's not just the flu. Yeah. It's something else they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, I guess I kind of told that in the chemistry, though, but here we go. We can go ahead to the next one because it's okay. Just not, they're just using this as a filter. They want to really do something else, but we're on chemistry 9X now. So if you want me to go ahead, I can start.
Okay.
On chemistry 9X. I'm going to read the prologue on this one. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Time is time. It's not yours if you're on the third level density. If you can't hold on to the concept of how much of it you have missed, then you will be X'd out, which is what they're trying to do now, X you out. 25,000 years behind in the matrix is a lot of time lost. It has been 600 years since the cleansing of Gaia. A few survivors of the war were left behind to witness a history that would not tell about the planet. They would hold the secret of what happened to it in the year Alpha 2012. There was nothing left of what happened to it before that. The regurgitation of the experimental planet recycles itself. It releases the souls that would be of no use in its history of learning life and what makes it living. Nothing can exist without good and evil. The universe sees to that. There must be a good and a bad, a yin and a yang. They are very much attracted to each other. The yang followed the vanguard. Writing in esoterically, Kishar came out near our planet on the other side of the ninth galaxy. The enemy gained the ability to hone in on the location of the ships and almost found their way to their planet. This would be the last meeting until then. The gods inside informed me that we were being pursued. Much camouflage was used to counteract their methods. The souls on board could not help but feel the evil that tried to follow us to our well-hidden place above. We relocated a few of our people on Earth to start anew, but in return, the evil will never find us or invade our original home again. The humans of old never knew, or they were too ignorant to know, that there were forces underneath those that were seen in their reality, feeding and feeding on energies to keep their hell alive. Okay. So we're on part 50 now. So we're doing a countdown. It was a countdown from 100, so now we're halfway through this trilogy. And Sister Bell, I'm going to take a swallow because my throat has want to act up, so hold on for a sec.
Okay. So you can call in to 323-642-1586 if you have any questions or you'd like to talk to Sister Seta. About her books here, or if you just like to have a conversation with Sister Seta Aset. So you have a chance to talk to her now, because when she gets famous, then you got to be like, oh, I wish I had to talk to her. Sister Seta, you back?
Okay. Yes, I am back. And thank you for that little plug. What I want to be famous for is to get this movie out here so our family can see it, so the people can really see what's going on this day, today.
Okay. Yeah.
So here we go. Go ahead, Sister Beth.
No, go ahead.
No, okay. Part 50, Old Mecca. Part 50, Old Mecca. In the time after the planetary war on Earth in 2042, it had been 1,000 years since the Nibirians and the Syrians battled the Drakon. They were heading to their destination when Kishar, Femi was her earthen name, asked, "Where are we, Ikur?" Now see, when they went into space and she's toward her home, she shared all of her earthen, how she was on Earth. She shedded all of that because now they're in space. So she's still Femi, but she's changed into an etheric being. And her name is Kishore right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She asks, where are we, Ikur? We're near Mercury. It seems our pursuers are gaining on us and fast. From what the planetary display shows, Earth's landscape has been semi-destroyed. Vegetation thrives in some places, and the quote border shows as far as human life, hardly anyone survived. The Dracon is very angry about that. Many of their minions have been eliminated. Take the ship and maneuver it to the Quixar galaxy. Take me and my army there. If they desire another fight, then it's another fight we will give them, she replied. Ikur executed a 780-degree turn into hyperspace to thwart off the gaining ship of their enemy and disappeared into a black hole on the other side of the Milky Way. They were catapulted into the fifth realm. The Pentagon and the Hexagon followed with the same intensity that swayed its passengers into the bowels of their containers. Once they were out, Ikor delivered them to the outskirts of the Andromeda system. It was 51 million paxelix that separated them from Sirius and Nibiru. Kishore and her army were preparing in advance in this quadrant. Their home planet was disorganized at the moment. She sent word ahead by her father that she, Ishmael, Zuri was his earthen name, now his name's changed to Ishmael, and her army would not be joining them in celebration of the defeat on Earth those few hundred years ago. Yet despite the preparation the people had who were waiting for them, this was all too familiar as they had fought this war before, since time, for there was no time. When they arrived, the 144 departed the ships and began to bond with the fellow Nibirians and Syrians. Her father was from the Syrian tribe of Hasnutan, and her mother, the tribe of Adonshe, also a Syrian. Both were extremely gifted in the all, for they were seers, tellers, makers, and futurons. The Creator gave these gifts to her parents, which made her gifted double time. Ishmael's parents, the same, as they all sat at the professing table together. The people were more than highly excited to see them floating towards the gigantic gold and black pyramid that stood so high you could identify it many paxelits away. Vibrations were set out to the people on their arrival. They were ready and waiting to greet the weary travelers with a song and with a host of other activities for all to enjoy. Once inside, after refreshing themselves, food and drink, Ishmadu, Leo was his earthen name, stood up to address the people. Family, while it is widely known here tonight that we have defeated our enemies on the earthen plane, the Draconian, the Crown Cross, the British Talisman, and their androids seem to have brought their relentlessness a very long way thanks to their artificial technology. But these skills haven't brought them far enough, as the Dracons were on our heels as we were coming home. Luckily, our pilot, Ikur, have extraordinary skills that surpasses what they have learned, outwit and outsmart any of them. Our people, our families on both Nibiru and Sirius, have been through eons of strife and conflicts since time began. Opposition seemed to adore our DNA since we have been responsible for everything that is. The power given to us by the creators to create the universe, the galaxies, and the planet is a continual and ongoing process to keep the manifestation of life here and on countless other worlds beyond ours. Their goal is to have the ability to take our places as gods and colonize the universe with their evil. But their idea of God is to have every known living thing in heaven above and heaven below on all the worlds held and in their control. We cannot accept that, and we never will. When we manifest in physical form, we went down to the experimental planet to learn. We made some mistakes, but we have learned now, and we know what we must do. There will never be a changing of the guard. Just when they think they have the power to do the things they do, we always return and put them back in their place. Kishore has to return back out into the expanse, back out into the ether, to find them and confront them before they reach the ninth galaxy. While Ashmadu spoke to all the planetary nations simultaneously, Umi, Ayura was her earthen name, watched her partner lay down the laws that governed all of them, and it did not incriminate one lesser than the other. The people were of the same standing, the same freedoms, and the same ways of life. There was no difference. After his riveting speech, Umi knew that Ishmadu wasn't hers alone. He belonged to the universe, to all. Mingling and speaking to the people one-on-one about what was at stake, he told them specifically where she was. He said, Kishore redirected the army of Grillion, the army to Grillion, T-52, in the fifth galaxy near Andromeda. Here is where she will stop them in their tracks and keep them from advancing toward our home. If we must do as the Sassranese have done to keep them away from their planet, we will do the same. I feel we don't have to go there because we have more than enough regimen here to keep us safe until she contacts me. Ashmadu, what do we do in the meantime while she's out there? Asked General Kug. We will reinforce our defenses here on the ground as well as our airspace on both here and Nibiru. We will never allow them to access to any planet in any universe except for one, Gaia, the experimental planet. General Kug, I expect you to take control of the airspace while General Watchrum commands the ground troops. I will alert High Commander Queen Kishore in case they get lucky, but with her army, I doubt they will ever get one pax closer to us. I will go prepare the soldiers and ready all units to be on alert, replied General Kug. As the general left to fulfill his duties, Umi said to her partner, Ashmadu, are we safe? You know as well as I that we have no fear here. Kishore will never default on the job. Her warrior soul is nothing short of bold and cunning. This will be the last time I ask, replied Umi. Okay, that was part 50, Bev. Any questions on that one?
These are aliens or entities or beings that's from other galaxies, and they're fighting on Earth. Is Earth called Gaia? Is that what you were talking about, Earth, when you were saying Gaia?
Yes, Earth is called Gaia in here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as far as them, go ahead, Sister Bear.
So you were saying that Earth is an experimental planet. So they are experimenting on Earth?
Well, they have been for some time. You know, if you look at it and the things that we're kind of going through now, you know, if this was, you know, supposed to be a place where we can be happy and free and, you know, and loving and do the things that, you know, our spirits you know, feel like that we want to do and need to do, then why do we have to take these shots? Why are our people getting trampled on and beat? Not only our people, but everybody, you know, most of the humans here, you are being dogged out. So, yeah, it is an experimental planet. For me, I mean, that's my thoughts on it.
Well, no, because, you know, I always correlate your book to what's going on now. And so it feels like that the people on the earth and the earth feels like that we're being attacked. And it doesn't feel like that we're being attacked from each other. It feels like we're being attacked from other species or something. And so I could very well see this happening for real, because it just seems like that we under attack. This planet is a beautiful planet, but it's always something going on. You know, it's always some kind of war, some kind of attack, something that's always going on.
And that's what I mean by experiment, you know, the being on the planet, by them being the experiment, not the planet itself, because it is a beautiful planet, you know.
Right.
But
yeah,
in order to have this type of life here on this planet being experimented on, group it all together and say this is the experimental planet with the
and
souls on
really
it being the experiment.
Happening.
Yeah.
I could see it happening. You know, we're not eating real food anymore. You know, it just seems like that the human beings, mankind, whatever you want to call us, it just seems like that we are being attacked. Now, are we like one of those movies that was dealing with the alien and I can't think. You know, the ones that looked like they had the dreadlocks. And they came to Earth to hunt and fight, you know. Maybe it's something like that. That's what it feels like. And these people that's in your book here, are they fighting each other in space? Are these two different species, or are they attacking just the people on Earth?
You remember in the war, they left the Pentagon, the hexagon, and the triangle ship finally got the people on board and they left going back home. So these are the same entities that were fighting the so-called predators, because that's the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
The predators. You know, they're fighting the predators have followed them off of planet Gaia, off Earth. They're in pursuit of them. Because they're trying to take over the whole galaxy. They want the whole universe to themselves, let alone just Earth. Yeah, they want it all. So they're still fighting. And so they've taken the war off planet Earth, and now it's in space. And that's, you know, we're having this space war now.
And this, you know, you're talking about this, even though you wrote your book years ago, now you're talking about it now, and now they're talking about Space Force and all of that. So everything is lining up. It's making sense to me.
It's making a lot of sense to me. I mean, you know, even though we're having this turmoil and this I think it's a gradual process of experimentation. You know, we've come a long way as far. Well, I haven't been on this earth, I've been on here for a few years, but we've come a long way from when I was a child. Because, and before then, I'm pretty sure that everything was like 100% or 110-120% natural. Now we're down to like maybe 5% natural. So I think it's a gradual. It's a gradual experiment on our people and the things around us and the things that we're involved in. It's getting less and less natural and more artificial. So, So, any questions about the last one? We're done with that last one.
Okay. Yeah, that was it. I was just, it just seems like, you know, they fighting in space. And I was just wondering, was, and I know that they can come here and they can, like, transform, you know, like she did. She transformed. Mm-hmm. So is everybody on the planet, you know, from other galaxies, or, you know, we are planet people and the people from other galaxies have come and invaded us?
Well, no, the help that she had when they fought on Earth. Now, some of them came from a different planet, but the planet that they come from was the planet she was from.
Okay.
All the time.
Well, her people.
The Anunnaki, the Sumerians, yeah, they were from the same place. But the Dracons, they're from a different place. They're from the planet Wallerstein and the Mesopia quadrant. That's where they're from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can, you know, the listeners or whatever, when you read it, you can judge for yourself, you know, where these places are. And we've got billions and billions of galaxies. So you can, you know, and as far as them exploring, I think it's about four or five different galaxies. I know the Milky Way is one. The Andromeda galaxy is another. And there's a couple of more that they've discovered. But we have billions of galaxies, so you don't know what's out there.
Right.
So
okay.
But anyway, we're going to do part 49, the communication. Part 49, communication. Soon after their conversation ended, Ashmadu received a notice from Ikor, who turned the triangle ship around, with several million Nibirian following him to join with his commander. He reported back to base that High Commander Kishar was holding down a combined army of 1 million Nibirians and Syrians with 23,000 Guerrillians on their planet with the approval of their Queen Yuli. Before Kishar led her people home, the ancestors of the Guerrillians had been viciously attacked by the Dracon long ago, and the queen was very willing to have them tried and judged. If any other enemy should happen to make it through, then they would be waiting. However, Kishar had another plan in mind. Commander Ishmael, I know that it would be best for us not to wait until they pass this way. I want to take a few pilots with me to meet them before they entered the third galaxy. We are way ahead of them. We can ambush them as they pass Sector D 905 near Angel Station. I think we're going to need more than a few pilots, he replied. Well, how about 60,000? That will leave more than enough soldiers here to catch any stragglers that might happen to escape us. But I highly doubt it, replied Kishar. It will work, but you know, and I know you're not going alone. Of course not. I wouldn't think of leaving you behind and miss out on all the action, she said. With only her thoughts, Kishar called into action all the fighter pilots she needed, and away they flew, so regal up into the skies and in the heavens, with her and her counterpart leading the way. Once they entered space, all they had to do now was sit back and transform themselves until they reached the third galaxy, which was only a galaxy away from their position. Their cockpits transformed into sarcophagus. They drifted the rest of the way. In her being, Kishar was recalling all the humanoids she met. Some with a relatively sense of who they were, and some not so coherently awake. But she knew That was from years and years of brainwashing and mind altering by the Drakon. Hopefully she and Ishmael, along with the gods, had put a stop to it, because the disease would not have a leader to further the evil. If so, then she could control them inside Earth with a maximum radius of 1 million miles outside of Earth, as fights in the heavens always took place where the human eyes could not see. While in this state, Kishar connected to the Creator. They were informing her of the impending dangers of having to return to the experimental planet because the war that had taken place was not over. Most likely, she would have to return one last time. It had been several hundred years since the last war, and those who had reigned before the were back in power. The sleeping, who had been left behind to rebuild and learn from the epic space war, had forgotten what happened and never cared to revisit its history. They were once again being deceived by those who had connections with her enemies, who she, Ishmael, and the Eye Watchers fought in the 21st century. It was apparent that the Sinister kept their ancestry alive and prospering on the lay people who had no knowledge of their past. As with a history that is intentionally hidden as a secret from the original beings, have been demonstrated eons before. It is a recycling of old knowledge, and it only occurs on the earthen plane. To exist on most other worlds, you would have to raise your level of thought to a place where all things were possible, no matter what the circumstances. But there was one on Earth who telepathically connected with her after the creators told her to find her calm mind and listen. Yes, he was there, informing her of the pain and sorrow the people were being subjected to once again. Once they stopped the force of the Crown Cross, whose artificial soldiers were gaining on them, they will return during the Age of Aries, when the coming of age of hellfire war was upon the earth. The message that streamlined itself on Kishar's panel informed her that they had reached the fourth dimension, where the Drakon, the Romanilia, and the Jawwalks would be showing themselves through the black hole of the Vanguard that had emerged from. Once they were all awakened, they sat stationary in the vastness of space in a half-moon formation. As soon as their enemy came out of the hole, they would be poised and ready to blast the armies of the Pontocles Dragtars and Pod Cruisers. The Drakon's heavyweight ships were preparing to take any prisoners in case they were successful enough to imprison the warriors. Commander Kishar's largest ships would always back them up just in case any of her soldiers called in distress. But the crew knew what they were facing in a crisis such as this one, and saving once again the humanoid race. Waiting was one of the worst things Kishar didn't like. Although patience was a godlike trait, she knew that meditating and concentration was key in defeating the enemy. Any successful warrior who was trained by the best soldier knew what type of strong soul he was working with. There was never a doubt that Kishar's training on Earth was impeccable, as her Dogon master relegated to her father through telekinesis when he was imprisoned in the caves. He knew all along that she was safe, but he wanted to physically view his child to to satisfy his spirit. In her soul, she asked a question of her parent about Kishar during his meeting with the people about the latest incident with the enemy. Yumi knew that they would be safe at home enjoying all the spoils the Creator had given them, while Kishar and Ishmael would return to a gruesome and deadly job back to the low vibrating existence called planet Earth. She and Ashmadu would not be there to assist in executing their special power to her queen and her army, and this was certainly troubling. There was nothing negative about how the Sumerian / Anunnaki thrived on their planet, simply because the vibration was so high, everything and everyone inherently knew how to coexist in harmony. This was the utopia the Dracon and the Crown Cross wanted to eliminate within all the cosmos. Aggressive control was the goal of the day, and defeat would be a hard pill to swallow for such a ruthless gang of murderers. Kishar was not having any of that in the vastness of the universe. It would be too compartmentalized in the Orion constellation. This is where they were ending this fight. Once they cleared the heavens of these wretched beings, who knew where they would end up? But wherever they ended up, the army of the Syrians and the Numerians, the Anunnaki and the Sumerians would hunt them down and finally rid their existence from all that ever was. They realized that the spread of the poison the enemy spewed upon the leaders of a peaceful people anywhere in the universe had an adverse effect upon all that was done to upset the natural order of all things. Okay, Sister Bev, that was, I think that was part 50, 49.
Yeah,
any questions on that one? Mm-hmm.
No, not really. Now, as you was reading, I was, it seemed like we are peace loving people, but then it's always being attacked. Now, I was thinking one time, what about if we were cells inside of a person? It don't have to be a, I guess the universe is like a person, but what if we were like inside of someone's body and we were cells? And you know how we got different systems in our body. And so these different mm-hmm. solar systems that we go through are the different systems inside of this body that we could all be in.
Well, that's not far-fetched at all. You know, if you looked at, if you ever seen the movie Men in Black, and I think it was the first one with Will Smith and I can't think mm-hmm. of the other guy's name, where...
Right.
When they were at their lockers and they mm-hmm. were putting something in their lockers and they opened the lockers and they seen this other galaxy. And the other galaxy had something within that galaxy. And then when they brought it down to a smaller level, there was these beings that was playing marbles, you know, with mm-hmm. the different galaxies. They were playing marbles. And this is weird that you said that, but I can see it happening. I can see it being that we mm-hmm. are galaxies within a galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our cells and DNA and all that is for. And they say, and when they say that we don't use all of our brains and that, you know, we have junk DNA, to me, that junk DNA is the connection with the universe that we have all forgotten about, and
right.
that they're trying to break, they're trying every day to break the ties, you know, that we have with the universe. So that's not at, that's not impossible at all, Sister Bev. Not at all.
It's so much that we don't know. So it's unfolding. Just, you know, they have us. It's like in the Matrix when the guy showed them the real Earth, you know. And I just feel like that we're starting to really see what is real.
Hello, Sister Bev?
Yes, I'm here. That's my phone.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay, Sister Seta, your voice is like I could feel it. It don't hurt, do it?
No, I just have that froggy thing in there from, you know, just clearing my throat, you know, from, you know, what I had yesterday. I mean, it only took me a day to get over it. Where it's taking, you know, a lot of other people maybe 2 or 3 days, but I'm good, you know. You know, and they really want to, we really want you to have, you know, have you thinking that, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be, Don't even, people, don't even think that way because you're not, you're not going anywhere. And I do believe in our melanin, people. I believe in our melanin. We are a blessed group of people. Don't ever forget that, because what we have is so many people in this world want it, and we're being attacked every which way but loose. So, you know, don't think that, you know, you're going to get swallowed up and you're going to get ate up. And even though they're not reporting, you know, many of us that have this virus or think that they have this virus, because I don't think they have. I don't think they're going to be able to report any of us having it, because we just don't. And they can't. And if they say something about it, beware, because they may be lying to you. I'm just going to tell you like that. They may be lying to you. You know, so I wouldn't take them serious. If they may say tomorrow, well, the first 10, 20 people are black that has the coronavirus. You know, and I don't. I wouldn't even believe that either. I wouldn't believe that
either.
Well,
they already,
because
they already said that it was only attacking elderly people, and it was European elderly or Caucasian elderly people that it was attacking.
Exactly. So, and where I am, there have been no cases reported at all. I'm in one of the states that has not reported any of it. My daughter had a really bad flu a couple of weeks ago. I mean, she was burning, aching up, everything, you know, and I might have gotten it from her, but she recuperated the next couple of days. So just don't think that it's not us. We don't have it. I think it's going to be hard for us to get this mess that they're putting out there.
Well, some people seem to think that it, you know, it's man-made, and some people seem to think that, you know, it's gender-specific. You know, they can switch it on to this gender and this race, and they can switch it. I mean, it's just all kind of things that's going on. Nobody really knows. So,
well, Sister Bev, you know what? They're so diabolical. I wouldn't put it past these people to put it in them chemtrails and start spraying it through the chemtrails. If they don't get if they don't get their quota the way they want it, you know, as far as many people that have, you know, that they can kill, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they would put it in there, because they got the, you know, they got everything sitting out there where they have in Georgia, where they have all these coffins, so-called coffins stacked up. So I don't know if that's made, you know, it, you know, for what's happening now or something that's going to go down. And I'm pretty sure you heard about that, right?
Where
in Georgia they have these. So I don't know if it's, if that is for this or for something that's coming. But I wouldn't put it past them, though, to put it in the trails to spray it down on folks. Like I said, if not enough people die from what we're seeing now, then we will put it in the chemtrail so that we can, you know, meet our quota. That is so diabolical. That's horrible.
Yes, it is. It is. But, you know, we survivors, though. We're mutants, so we have a tendency to mutate.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, I think we're gonna get past this. Definitely going to get past it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And it's too many people feel the way you feel, you know. It's like they like, I'm just not feeling that is what they saying it is. You know, and they just ain't feeling it. So it's too many people feeling that. So every, you know, it can't be that many people that is, you know, feeling it wrong. And most of the people that's panicking are the people that's all listening to the propaganda news.
Sister Bev, I went to the stores today. People are panic buying like crazy. There's nothing on
yeah.
the shelves. It don't seem like there's nothing coming in. And I'm like, these people have gone bat crazy. I mean, this is ridiculous. This really doesn't
yeah.
make any sense. And once
yeah.
you get people
and
stirred up into a frenzy like
yeah.
that with negative vibrations going on, you know,
yeah.
they're only aggravating
yeah.
the problem. It's
yeah.
going to get worse. It is. It's going to get worse. But you have to be on your square where you can get ready for this type of thing. That's why you got to vibrate higher. No,
that's true.
And if a lot of us can vibrate higher, there's a whole lot of things that we can change.
That's right. That's true. And I think that's what time it is. And I just think that that's what's happening. You know, it's forcing people to really, really find out who they really are and what they really mm-hmm. are about and the powers that they have. And it's time to use these powers.
Exactly. And that's what the chemistry is about. Use your power. Use your
yeah.
power.
Yeah. Well, Sister Santa, I want to thank you again for joining us. And we will do this again next week. And thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you taking your time. We appreciate you sharing your talent with us.
Well, I appreciate being here, Sister Bev. And, you know, when we get back into this, next Thursday, we're going to be doing part 48, Facing Danger. So be ready
danger.
For that one, Facing Danger. So it's going
okay.
to be pretty good. We're getting back. We're getting where they're fighting in space now. We're up in space. We done left the planet Earth.
Okay.
So that's what's going on
right.
now. And we're looking at evil at a backstory, their backstory. So it's going to be
okay.
pretty good.
Yes, it's been good so far. It's really been interesting. So thank you again, Sister Seta, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Much love.
I
okay.
appreciate being
peace
here. Thank you. Peace.
Okay. Peace. All right, everyone. Join me tomorrow with Brother Sutton.